Today we are going to go on a field trip, a summer field trip. And hopefully, my words will wash over you and put you in touch with the best of this season. And more importantly, inspire you to get out and feel it yourself. It's not too late, friends. August is still summer. Also, this is related to intuition. Let's explore together.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friend, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemakers show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Hello. Welcome to episode 100 of the Intuition for Changemakers show and the start of season 5. I had it wrong last episode. I started this podcast in August of 2022. Under a different name. It used to be called the Own Your Intuition Show. So episode 100 of my podcast will mark the entrance to season 5. I am so glad you are here. I am glad I am here too. I grew up going to lakes all summer long. Weirdly, in my adulthood, it took me having kids to seek them out in my area. I mean, I live on an island, so I am surrounded by water, but lakes are my jam. I am going to take you to one of my favorites today, hopefully to inspire you, because friends, it's currently the middle of August. But do not be fooled by the rumblings that for some weird reason start at the beginning of August, or even more crazily, late July. The rumblings that say, summer is over, summer is almost over. Summer is not over. No need to rush ahead. Let's be where we are, and let's do it fully. What does this have to do with intuition, you might ask? A lot, actually. Part of moving in the most regenerative, intuitive rhythm, if you want to really go deep and understand how held you are, not only by the insight your highest self gives you in a myriad of ways when you need it, but but also how you are literally always held within a regenerative structure every moment of your life. If you want the full meal deal while on Earth in regards to your intuition, you also pay attention to the circle, the cycle in which we are all held constantly, whether you recognize it or not. As an example, whether you get your apples from the grocery store or have some growing in your yard right now or get them from the farmer's market, at this time of year, they are just putting on their red blush, but they're not quite ready for a juicy, tasty crunch into them. These apples, all apples, grow in cycle. You eat them. Everything you eat grows in cycle. Food makes the energy and the medicine we need to live here on this planet. Get it? You already are within this rhythm, whether or not you recognize it. You ingest it, you breathe it, you stand, lay, sit on it. You are surrounded every moment by these beats, this flow held within this cycle, this circle of seasons. And if you want to feel even deeper in the sparkly nourishment of intuitive flow, you relax into those rhythms and you recognize how they hold you. So we are in summer, still, people. So let's go together to one of my favorite lakes. This is Aimée Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemaker show if you just turned in, and we are about to take a field trip. My flip-flops hit the ground as I get out of my car. Leaving the driver's side door open, I move to the other side of the car to loosen the ties. The rope, in a practiced twisted knot that my husband taught me, springs free easily as I pull it, releasing my blow-up paddleboard from its ride on the roof rack of the car. I walk it over to the grass and set it down. Gathering up the rest of my supplies from the front seat of the car, sunshirt, goggles, sunglasses, hat, water bottle, and kayak paddle, I don what I can over my swimsuit and I attach the rest to the board. With it all in hand, I make my way down to the water. I am at my favorite lake, or should I say my favorite lake that is the closest to my house. Growing up in Minnesota, my mind's eye has many lakes to choose from. Being raised in the land of 10,000 lakes has given me a lifetime of childhood summers spent on freshwater. Having my own kids helped me re-enliven the summer pastime of my youth. I know and have marked on the map of my phone many of the lakes within a 60-mile radius of the island I live, especially on the Olympic Peninsula side. But today, my kids are not in tow. It's just me and this glorious summer day in the Northwest. The sun is out, creating heat on my shoulders and body. The sky is blue with a wandering fluff of cloud or two. The water is dark in color, not the turquoise of glacier lakes, but fresh and inviting, and the perfect bit of cool, but not cold, temperature. I hop on the board. This lake is small. On the shore, it's surrounded all the way around with the evergreens of the Pacific Northwest. In the water, it's surrounded on all sides by thousands and thousands of water lilies. Pink and white flowers in various stages of life and decay completely envelop the edges of this lake. I think it's why not a ton of people come here. To swim, you have to make your way through the lilies to the center. Many a time, I've swum through them using the narrow path created by the other lake goers, intent on also enjoying the lake's pure center. In fact, I've lost beloved bracelets to their grasp, offering them in a prayer of thanks upon realizing the lilies were claiming the gemstones and rose gold as their own. There is no sandy beach to lie upon or play in here. It's just shore, lilies, water, trees, and the creatures that live here. I feel blessed to be among them every single time. The water in the middle of the lake is pure and clean. Underneath its surface, your toes occasionally meet streams of very cold water. We say, my kids and I, that it's spring-fed, but we don't really know. That's just how it feels. It feels like somewhere deep below you, there is icy cold fresh water springing from the earth in order to create this paradise. The edges of the lake, where the lilies abound, appear to be slowly turning into a bog. In some areas, you can see the mud comes up to the surface of water and peeks out. I once watched a person, a young man, walk all the way around the boggy parts of the pond. He got in the lake and circumnavigated the whole lake by way of muck and lilies. Most often, he was up to his shoulders in muck, sometimes up to his waist. Though I would have been dying, like skin crawling, to get to its fresh center, he appeared to relish the feeling and the oneness of the muck. When he finished his circuit, he rinsed himself off, got back on shore, and biked home. At least that's, I assume, where he was going. We all come here to experience our own type of bliss. Mine is floating on top of the waters or swimming within them, watching the inhabitants who live here all summer, like the starlings who dive for insects, regularly swooping in gorgeous arcs above the breeze-ruffled waters. There are two old beaver dams on the north side of this lake. Since I've been coming here, I have yet to see a beaver. Yet the evidence of their once residence and ingenuity remains. One year, in the spring, I floated over to investigate one of the old dams and noticed that the geese had made a nest there on this little island created and abandoned by beavers. In the hollow of their nest, there were two cracked shells and one uncracked. Downy, white, and speckled brown feathers were everywhere, evidence of their well-used and loved outdoor living room. I remember perfectly in my mind's eye the sight of one downy feather waving in the slight breeze amidst the cracked and uncracked shells. This day, the swish of the water against my paddle and the lilies is my cherished and well-known soundtrack as I make my way to the center. I rarely use my paddleboard as others do. Instead of standing, I usually sit cross-legged on it, and I use a kayak paddle to power my ride. As I paddle, my mind becomes filled with the lake. It's the only thing happening on my inner screen. I watch everything as I slowly dip and swish to the farthest part of the lake, letting my eyes feast on what they will. I see the Canadian goose family that summers here, the two living goslings swimming contentedly behind their parents. One year, they often followed me or my children as we paddled, coming close with curious stares. Most years, they are distant, making their way around the lake without meeting our path at all, giving us the irrelevance that we are due. When I reach the edge of the lilies on the far side of the lake, I paddle into them a few feet. Then I stop. I lay my paddle down and observe. I float. I watch the tiny pinhead of dark bugs that make their home among the lilies. I admire the vibrancy of the pink flowers that shine so prettily against the black of the lake. I appreciate the vivid turquoise of the dragonflies who land on my paddleboard in various configurations and who have been making themselves known and helping themselves to my air-filled ride since it departed the shoreline. My mind does nothing but this: watch what is around me. I rarely think beyond the dragonflies, lilies, water, and clouds when I am here alone. In fact, that is why I come. To be with these friends, to feel myself a creature among them, a part of the play, whose job it is to do nothing beyond instinct and impulse. To the eye of another, the day is uneventful, maybe. I let the water take me where it will. I lay down on my board. I watch the birds and the bugs and the flora. I watch the water still and then ripple with the shift and change of the breeze. I admire the dexterity of swallows and wonder about their invisible dinners. I listen to the air through the trees if they are making music together. I swim through the water, relishing the silky cool of fresh water against my skin and face. I love the special summer sound of a complete freshwater surround. I consider the trees and the wild roses on the shore who see this view every day. I wonder about the beaver, whence they came and where they went. I think of nothing of how books are written or what children need to grow. Not a single thought of what needs to be added to our refrigerator crosses my mind. I have zero aspirations. I do only what comes. These days are the best days because of this. For me, these moments are a remembering. Without thinking, I recall that I am a part of the wild picture of this world, that my presence does not require achievements, that just by existing, I am a part of this divine and awe-inspiring flow. Without thinking, I remember in my body that my accomplishing is and should be as natural as lilies growing in a pond. Perhaps the growth is not without effort. That mud is thick and those shoots are slender. Nonetheless, it is inevitable and righteous, not arduous and hair-pulling. Striving and trying has no place here on my paddleboard with the swallows and the dragonflies and clouds for company. And so I come here to reset my knowing, to feel it in every cell of my human body, like the certainty of light on water and sun on skin. This attunement to wild place helps me remember. It helps me realign with the part of me that knows I don't have to do to be valuable. That watching clouds and floating on a breeze is a perfect use of a life and the breaths that I've got while here. In bits and pieces of dazzling and soothing, sensuous insight, being here on this lake helps me recognize the flow within the pattern that moves forward constantly without my or another human's management. The mandala of life that always exists where the ingenuity of beavers doing what they do make way in time for the life of another, a generation that flies. Friend, I hope you enjoyed this field trip. Now, let's get to scheduling your own. If you just joined us, this is Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. We just went on a summer field trip, and that is the topic for our episode, Making the Most of This Bountiful Season, which is still in full form all the way through August, 31 days, and maybe even beyond. Summer is one of the quarters that holds us within the year. It's vibrant. It's the connection part of the year, the full moon or the ovulation part of a woman's cycle. It was Kate Northrup's work, incidentally, that turned me on years ago to the link between those things. Summer is good for being together. Backyard barbecues or picnics in the park, The plants are vibrant, and so are we. Full of life and sun on our faces, full of fresh fruit and vegetables. You've still got time. I have a girlfriend who is fond of saying, "I'm this many years old." It obviously changes year to year. "That means I've got approximately this number of summers left." Although that is true for all of us, we have a certain number of summers left, and we never know how many. So why not enjoy every season to the fullest extent that we can? As I said to my solutionary students the other day, though, I don't enjoy summer just because it's fleeting. Like all other seasons, the wheel is continually turning. I enjoy it because it offers us beautiful and precious gifts specific to this season. Each season has its beautiful and specific gifts. If we want to engage deeply in our own intuitive knowing, in the flow that we are always present within, in the regenerative rhythms, we pay attention to whatever season we are in, and we embrace it fully. So here is some food for thought. What do you love about summer? What are the favorite summer experiences of your life, currently and also from your childhood or back throughout the time period of your life? What experiences do you have on your summer bucket list? For some reason, it took me, as I said, until I had kids to seek out all the lakes in the area where I live now. Before that, I just missed them. Weirdly, because I could have also made it happen then too. I guess I was enjoying the waters, the salty ones that surround me during those times. However, don't be like I was. Don't let another summer go by without doing at least some of the things that you love about this season. Picnics, biking, concerts in the park, movies in the park, if you are lucky enough to have that kind of thing near you. I highly recommend seeking out the shoreline with or without children and leaning into the poetry that summer offers us so easily, like blossoms floating in the air on their stems, or watermelon juice dripping down your face and fingers, or like watching birds flit about in branches and hearing them sing their summer songs. Get out your paper, make your list, or put your list in your phone, or even better yet, maybe your date book. Maybe even write your list in next June's date book so you can remember next year too, to think about and put in place time for all of the things that you love about this season. Then, after you have your list for now, get out your calendar and find your times. Maybe you need to get your skin in the air and feel the sun on your face before it goes away, like it does where I live in the Northwest. It becomes more infrequent in the winter. Right now, it warms our bones so that we are saturated and we can let go into the next season when it comes, knowing we fully lived all that this summer cycle could offer us. the gifts like gardens and paddleboarding and swimming and easy connections or camping and all of the things that, at least where I live, are really offerings of these months, the ones we are in right now. My kids and I went out again on this last new moon to see the bioluminescence in the Puget Sound. You have to stay up late to do this. You have to go out when the sky is at its darkest, which is why we do it on or around the new moon. Going out late, that can be hard for people, hand-raised also over here. I admit at 10:45 p.m., for a second, I waffled. I was like, do we really want to pack up the paddle boards and get on our suits and Crocs and sweatshirts and head out? I had literally just been snuggled in bed watching season 4 of Ted Lasso with my husband. But like usual, I did not regret going out, leaving the house after 11 p.m. in order to see the magic that is bioluminescence waving in the Puget Sound, making a glow in the dark ripple when your paddleboard goes through the water, or watching all of the sparkles underneath the paddleboard in the water, watching just the craziness of fluorescence in the water sparkling all around your paddle. It's so incredible. And summer is the best time because it's not so cold. You don't care if you get wet. Sometimes you even jump in. So this is it, guys. This is your only summer of this year. Drive-in theaters, that's also on my bucket list. I haven't been to one since I was in high school. I don't know if I'm going to get to that this year, but we do have friends who just set up an outdoor theater in their yard. They are showing movies for the next few Friday nights. They sent us all the details this weekend or next weekend. I can't remember. We will be there with our blankets out under the skies watching Goonies. This is also the second year in a row for my family of what I now think of as a camping the last week in August tradition. I love it, and we're doing it again in that specific week because it feels like we suck all the juice from summer before it is ready to turn. Even in the last days of August, we are running around barefoot, roasting food, and swimming through the silk that is fresh water on your skin. Have you ever seen that children's book called Frederick by Leo Leoni? It's an award-winning classic about a mouse who spends all summer soaking up the delights of the season. And then, in the deepest, darkest part of winter, he tells the stories and poetry of summer to his fellow mice, to ease their hearts during the hardest part of the cold season. Let yourself be Frederick. You've still got time. I wish you all the gifts of this season and the goodness and the ripeness and the juiciness and the abundance and the miracles and the magic. See you next time. All my love. Hello, beloved. Amy again. Do you want something to do while you lie idle in the grass or picnic in the park? I've got Intuition coloring pages that you can download for free right now. Print them out, throw them and your markers in your picnic bag. I'll put a link in the show notes. Hey, you know that you can also send me a text too, right? On your podcast app. When you click on the show episode, you'll see the words, "Send us a text." When you do, I get them. I'd love to hear about your summer adventure. We are here together. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.